Are we ready for some revelation today?
I am.
All right, Revelation chapter 2. And we'll remember that in Revelation 1, we'll remember that the Lord Jesus gave a vision of himself to the Apostle John. And one of the things he asked him to do is in each of those seven churches to write a letter to the pastors. They're called angels here, but angel is a word that means messenger. So really, unfortunately, they translated it angel here, and it makes it a little confusing, but we've been learning that it means pastor. And so we're going to read Revelation 2, 18 through 29, and I'm going to stop along the way to point a few things out. It won't be just reading, but I'm going to point a few things out. It's a little bit longer passage, and then we'll jump right in. Okay, Revelation 2 and verse 18. And to the angel, again, the pastor of the church in Thyatira, write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works. Robert, it's not. It's on mine. It changed on mine, but it didn't change up there. Okay, I got it. It says, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Again, he's going back to chapter 1, and he's reminding us of the vision in chapter 1. And in verse 19, he says to the pastor, Pastor, I know your, and again, we pointed these out that are underlined, they're singular, okay? I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience or your endurance. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. All right, so he's talking to the pastor here. And then in the next verse, verse 20, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman. Now notice, I scratched out the phrase, look up here. I scratched out that woman. You allow that woman. Okay, now here's the understanding here. And this is one of the keys that made me change my mind that Jesus is having John write specifically to the pastors, though the churches get in on this as well. But here's why. There's different manuscripts of the Bible in Greek, and I'm not going to go into all that because it's not necessary, but I just want to say this. In the majority of the Greek manuscripts, it has this, your wife. Whoa. It's kind of what made me change my mind, because the oldest manuscripts has that woman, but the majority of the manuscripts has, Pastor, you allow your wife Jezebel. Now again, Jezebel is kind of a moniker. You know who Jezebel was in the Old Testament. You remember her, right? She was bad, bad news. Well, here this pastor has this undoubtedly very suave, sophisticated, and public-speaking kind of woman, okay? She's like incredible public speaker, and probably the pastor was more shy. And notice, well, if you went back, Robert, can you go back a verse, or son? Can you go back just one? He says, boy, I know your works, love, service, faith, your endurance. So he was probably more service-oriented. Or maybe his wife, man, she was just the speaker extraordinaire. But Jesus says, John, write to the pastor and say, you allow your wife, Jezebel. Okay, so go on to the next slide, son. You allow your wife, Jezebel, who calls herself, Jesus doesn't say, I call her. She calls herself a prophetess. Now, don't forget, what were prophetesses and prophets? They were people in Bible days who got divine, direct revelation from God. And so when God would give them the very words to say to God's people, what was the first words out of their mouth when they got those, everyone? Thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord says. And then they would give God's message. Well, she was claiming that. She calls herself a prophetess. Now, obviously, Jesus is implying there what? She's faking it. She's not getting these words from God. In fact, she's saying things we're going to find out that were the opposite of what God would wanted her to say. Okay? So, let's continue. She calls herself a prophetess. You allow her to teach and seduce my servants. Notice that, my servants. Wow. See how Jesus could be angry here? Pastor, what are you doing? Those are my sheep. Those are my servants. And you're allowing her to teach them to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. We're going to talk about, wow, how's this going on? How is this happening? We're going to show you. I could see how this could happen. And, Pastor, Jesus says, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Okay, next slide, please. Indeed, Jesus says, I will cast her into a sick bed. You see, Jesus the judge. Remember we said Revelation is Jesus the judge? And he says, I'm coming into this church, and Pastor, I gave her time to repent. She didn't. I'm going to throw her into a sick bed. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Now, don't think of great tribulation end times. He's talking to a local church. I'm going to toss them into unbelievable trouble. Okay? The Greek is phlipsis megale, like great trouble, great. In fact, it's the word for great labor pains. I'm going to cast her into great trouble unless they repent of her deeds. There's another one where the majority of the Greek texts say, unless they're repenting of what she's teaching, they're going with her. I will kill her children. Now, who's this? Her babies, like her own children? No, no. This is her followers. Okay, probably, here's what I'm thinking. I'm making a guess here, but I have a feeling with her being suave, sophisticated, probably a good public speaker, something along those lines, she's got a lot of wealthy people in Thyatira. There were all kinds of guilds, all kinds of labor unions, as it were. Different things. I'm going to explain it to you later. But I think what she did is she had a handle on all the people that were wealthy. And so maybe the pastor was a little bit hesitant. Maybe she was very strong and he's a little bit shy. He's maybe hesitant to tell her because he's thinking, man, we're going to lose all the rich people in the church that are great givers and we're going to go down the tubes. And so Jesus says, Jezebel, or he's talking to the pastor, Pastor, I'm going to kill her followers with death. I'm going to take some of them to the heaven. Mark it down. You're going to see some people that you're going to be doing funerals for. And all the churches, not just the church in Thyatira, all the seven churches in Asia Minor and maybe even those beyond it are going to know that I am the white-bearded, mild, meek and mild Jesus. Does he say that, that I'm this meek and mild grandpa up in... No, he doesn't say that. He says all the churches are going to know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. In other words, that he is the omnipotent God that's reaching into every single human's mind and into their hearts. In other words, their innermost being, not their physical heart, but their innermost persona, where motives and desires, and God sees all of that. He says, I don't like hypocrisy because I see right through the exterior and I can see inside of humans. And I'm pastor, I see inside of you and I see inside your wife and I hear what she's saying publicly. And I, Jesus says, will give to each of you. Notice Greek, plural you, you all. Now he's stretching it to the church family. And, well, of course, all the churches, because he says all the churches will know this, and I will give to each one of you all. Each one of you all, not just to the pastor and his wife, everyone. I know their minds and their hearts. And listen, you could hide it from others, you could steal, you could do this, and nobody, but I will give you according to your deeds, every one of you. Okay. Now, I want to ask you a question. Several years ago, you remember, man, several years ago, probably over a decade ago, those signs began to pop up. I've told you about before all over Dallas. They had a black background down on the highway. And put that next slide up there, and they would show messages like this. Okay? Oh, you know what? I didn't keep reading the text. Okay. We'll come back to that. Sorry about that. I didn't turn the next page. Okay, go ahead into the next slide, since I'm already on the story. We'll come back to this in the message. Remember these billboards? They were funny. People driving around the road. What part of thou shalt not, don't you understand? God. And then the next one. Next slide, please. If you keep using my name in vain, you'll wait longer. And then another one, here's one I like, my favorite probably. Don't make me come down there. But you know what? This letter from Jesus to that pastor and to the church there in Thyatira and the other churches, but mainly to the pastor, Jesus isn't saying to the pastor, don't make me come down there. You know what he's saying to that pastor? Step aside, I'm coming down there. Last week we had false teaching in the church, but he was telling the pastor to deal with it. This week, I just kind of think the pastor, he was a good guy because Jesus is commending him for all these good things he's doing. But you know what? I think he was kind of weak on saying this. Listen, everybody, thus says the Lord. Are you listening? He had a hard time doing that. He had a hard time getting in their face and saying, do you understand what your God's trying to say to you? Okay, we get the idea. Because our world, they just want just the sweetest, nicest things. They don't want, you know, they don't want to be confronted with their sins and everything. And Jesus doesn't say, don't make me come down there. He says, Pastor, move aside. I'm coming down. Those followers of hers, some of them are going to lose their lives. She's going to be so ill. I may take, you know, that kind of idea. See, Revelation, everybody, is painting a true picture, a true blue picture of Jesus. I mean, you don't have to watch very much television to realize what people think. First of all, many, many people don't even think he ever existed. And then they do, if they do think that he's up there and that he really exists, they think he's an old grandfather, you know. He's like, just, oh. Like, I had a grandfather. He couldn't speak English. He could only speak Croatian. And so he'd say, Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. Good, good boy. He would say something like, Dobro Dutchko, which means good boy, Dobro Dutchko. And I knew at least that much. But that's all he said because he couldn't tell me other things. So he'd just pat me on the head, good, Bobby. And you know what? I'm thankful that Jesus does that to you and he does that to me. When we read the Word, we learn of his love for us and those things. But sometimes he says, I'm coming down there. We can't have, okay, you got a diamond, okay? A diamond's got all those different facets. You keep turning it and it's got all those different angles. Listen, God is not like monolithic. He's not like just one quality. Boy, we know Jesus has got many, many qualities, and one of them is he's a judge, and he's a judge that hates sin. He hates evil. He doesn't like it, especially in his people. You know, it's one thing for unbelievers, but when you got the pastor's wife in the church getting up saying, okay, honey, thank you for leading the worship. Okay, let's get down. And she sits him down after he leads worship, and she gets up. Okay, we got big problems here, okay, because she's taken over. And so Jesus says, I'm coming down there. I gave her time to repent. I gave your wife time to repent, Pastor, but she didn't. I'm coming down. There's trouble. Okay. And so this letter to Thyatira is like these billboards. It reads like a great big billboard that says there's problems. And so this morning, the title that I've given, put that next slide up there, the title that I've given to the message is this, Big Sins in a Little Church. By the way, that picture right there, whoever took that picture, that's 16 pictures that he stitched together with a computer. 16 different photographs he took, and he stitched them all together. But Big Sins in a Little Church. Yeah. This is just one of those smaller churches around Asia Minor. But boy, listen, Jesus doesn't just care about churches with 30,000 in them, or 15,000, or 1,000, or 500. He cares about churches that have 10, 15, 20, 50 people. He cares about all of them because it's his servants, it's his sheep. So let's get into this. And by the way, everybody, don't expect a heartwarming message today. This is going to be a tough, in-your-face message from Jesus, but it's all right because we got to hear the soft, wonderful stuff, and we got to hear the tough love. Okay, so let's pray and ask God to help us to listen carefully. Father, use this in all of our lives. And Holy Spirit of God, we ask that you would come down and just do your work, Lord. Let me hide behind the shadow of the cross of Jesus and let the power of God be manifested. Because, Lord, sometimes we just need to hear the tough, hard sayings of God as well as the easy ones. And we pray it in your precious name, Lord Jesus, and for your sake. Amen. Okay, can we have that next slide? Several weeks ago, I pointed out it's difficult for people living in the 21st century to picture Jesus as a judge. Okay, I already commented about that. They have a real hard time believing that he could be angry with them. And so do we, don't we? Hey, listen, we've grown up in the same world that the pagans have grown up in. And this world at large just wants to paint God as only a soft touch. They don't ever want to paint him in reality. It's hard. It's hard for us to think of that. You know, we are used to hearing about how wonderful he is. And he is wonderful. And he is the greatest father you could ever have. But listen, sometimes he'll take his finger and wave it in our faces. And so will a good father and a good mother in their homes. Did you all hear me? Okay. You can't just be sweet and kind. Listen, put away your clothes. No. Okay, let's go have some cereal. No, no, no. Listen, when there's rebellion, you come up and you stand and you look down at them and you hold your finger and you said, look at me. Listen to me. I said, put your clothes away right now. You've got to do that. And you know what? Our God does that. Our Lord does that. Read, these are his, in your Bibles, it's in red print. This is Jesus talking to a pastor. He's putting his finger in the pastor's face, and he's putting it in our face at large as we read his word. Okay, now verse 18. Can we put that next slide up? Revelation. I don't want you to be in the dark about me, Jesus says. So he says to the angel in the church, right, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. So his eyes are like flames. They're not flames, they're like flames. They are consuming. They can burn away the exterior, like I said earlier, and see through the facade. And he's got feet like brass. I mean, it doesn't say he's got feet like feathers. They're like brass, okay? Man, that's hard metal. And those feet, later on, they're going to trample the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God later on in Revelation. His feet, that's why when we're singing, he is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He is trampling that. It's talking about mankind. It's going to be like Jesus put him in a wine vat and he's crushing the grapes under his brass feet. So those are word pictures, everybody. See, we're getting an angle of that diamond, that we aren't familiar with, maybe. Wow, our God is angry at sin? The Bible says that he is every day. Whew. Okay, well, we better think about that. That should keep us from wanting to do it. That should do something in our hearts and our minds. All right? So his feet are ready to carry out any judgment that he as the judge sees fit. And in verse 23, next slide, I want you to see this because we already looked at this. I'm he who searches the minds and the hearts. Okay, so his eyes of fire are looking through the facade, burning through it as it were, and fire is judgment in the Bible. Fire is judgment. And he's seeing through the real you and I, he's seeing through the facade and revealing the reality. Okay. And then we looked at verse 23. Let's go back to verse 18, because verse 18 we talked about, next slide please, we talked about the brass feet, okay? He's got brass feet. And then he says, I'm going to give to each one of you all later, and again in verse 23, I'm going to give to each one of you all, pastors, elders, members, according to you all's works. Okay, think about that. You will get just what you were asking for. According to your works. According to. Okay? So if you have a little bit of bad, you may get a little bit of suffering because Jesus punishes evil. But if people have a lot of bad in their lives, they may get a lot of suffering. Hey, Jezebel in Thyatira, she wasn't just like putting people down in the church. She was getting up from the pulpit, quote unquote. They probably didn't have pulpits back then, but she was getting up and teaching all of God's sheep, hey, listen, what's going on over there at work? It's fine. And we're going to get into that. Sexual immorality, eating food that people thanked false gods for. Okay? And so we're going to try to apply that to our lives and our day-to-day lives. Look at verse 19. You know, God is, he's, next slide please, he's seeing all these things happening, okay, Jesus? And is it stuck? Robert, is it stuck? Okay. I know your works. See, I told you this before. He sees the pastor. Love, service, faith, and endurance. And for your works, the last are more than the first. He says, you know what? You've not only are doing these things, the last is better than the first. You've grown and you're doing these more and more. But again, he had a great big blind spot. He was letting his wife do an awful thing. Now again, you got to realize this is the early church. They were going on missionary trips and going into these cities. They were just given over to immorality and paganism. And so these people didn't, like us, grow up in church. Many of us grew up in church, but they did not. Man, their parents were teaching their kids the evil they did and didn't even blink an eye at it. And so what you got here, everybody, is there's a real trouble here in this church. And Jesus is saying, hey, Jezebel, not okay. You're so suave and sophisticated, and you think this is just fine for those people, but it's not, it's not, it's not, and he's trying to alert them to this, okay? He knows the pastor's obedience, and next slide, please. He not only knows the pastor's obedience, he knows his disobedience. You allow your wife. Those are singular. You, pastor, you allow your wife. That's right to the pastor. That's his fault. Sometimes church's troubles are with the leadership. Okay? And so that's why it behooves the sheep. Hey, listen, there's six elders. You know that if you see something flawed, you can go to one of the other elders or to two or three elders and say, hey, listen, you know, Pastor Bob, this bothers me, or this elder, or this leader, or this Bible fellowship teacher. We need to all be looking out for one another because we want to stay on the up and up. Hey, listen, can any of us slide? Spiritually, yeah. So we always need to be looking out for one another. And Jesus is looking out for his sheep. We need to be following in his steps. We need to be looking out for one another. You know what? I send many text messages out. Now they're not heeded. They're not listened to. I don't even get responses a lot of times. I sent some more last night to people and saying, hey, listen, this is your shepherd speaking. You know, you're a straying sheep. But you know what? They've closed their ears up. They don't want to hear it. They don't respond. They don't listen. I'll call. They won't answer the phone. You know, it's not good. So, he knows the pastor's obedience. He knows the pastor's disobedience. But this is just toleration of evil. And folks, we can't have it. Now, again, we don't have to be crazy people. Just freak out and go gossip and everything. But we can't tolerate evil in our own lives and in the lives of one another. We have to be on top of it. We need to have enough love to have tough love and say, hey, you know, I've been listening to you and you're saying things you really shouldn't be saying, so on and so forth. Now let me talk to you about Thyatira and how this immorality and everything. Put the next slide up, please. In Thyatira, there are all kinds of workers' unions. And a great Bible commentator named Robert Thomas, he said there were wool workers, linen workers, garment makers, dyers, like people that dyed clothing, leather workers, tanners, potters, bakers, slave dealers, and bronze smiths. And membership in a guild was compulsory if you wanted to get or keep a job. It was compulsory. You had to be, just like in nowadays with they don't want workers breaking the line of the workers' union. My dad was in the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. He was in a union. And like, they don't like it when you don't strike with them. If they go on strike, they want everybody going on strike. If you cross the picket line, they hate that. And so they had guilds, and the membership in the guild was compulsory. Now, question, everybody, were these Judeo-Christian guilds? No, these were pagan guilds. So they'd have a great big dinner. They would get together for their meetings. I don't know how often they had them. But listen, they expected everyone to be at these dinners. And the food that was put out there, the guy may get up and say, hey, listen, this food was provided by the great god Zeus, or something like that. And we should all give thanks as we eat this food because it's provided by the great God. And you know, they would have a great big celebration. Maybe they had a lot of alcohol or whatever. But you know what? Then it was just a given. I don't know how this all played out, but sexual immorality and this idol worship was all... Hey, if you go to the Old Testament, what were they... They got out of Israel, and a few days later, what are they molding? The golden calf, right? Okay, so this wasn't new to the first century, and man, you go back to Moses, thousands of years, and they're making a golden calf, and it says the people sat down to eat, and what else? They rose up to play. The people sat down to eat, and they rose up to play, and that play means not Legos. Okay, they weren't playing Legos or building blocks or on the church playground. Okay, they were immoral. And that's what was happening in Thyatira. They'd go to the guild meetings, they'd eat the food sacrificed to idols, and they were just expected. You know. And you know, they just did it. You know, that's what they did. They just, well, okay, that's got that over with. Okay, that was fun. Okay, and Jesus said, no, my people, things are different. But Jezebel didn't see it that way. She's thinking, uh-oh, they start taking a stand against that. They lose their jobs, we lose the money coming into the church, or whatever she was thinking, I don't know. But something was motivating her to say something to God like this. Listen, it's okay. Listen, this has been going on since time immemorial, and you know what? This is how we keep our jobs, this is how, blah, blah, blah. And she was coming up with very suave ways of saying that you should keep doing this. And Jesus said, no. Look at verse 21, okay? The next slide is Robert Thomas. Guild members were expected to attend the old festivals and to eat food, part of which had been offered to a pagan deity, which was acknowledged as being on the table as a gift from the god. Okay, so like I said, Jezebel, next slide, Jezebel enters the picture, and she's standing before God's people. And next slide. Are we locked up again? Okay, there she is. Jezebel's there in front of God's people. That's a modern Jezebel, I guess. Those guys sitting there with jeans on. You know, they didn't have jeans back in those days. I don't think they had robes, you know. But anyway, but she's standing there and she's telling them why. Hey, you guys, everything's fine. Don't endanger your job. You know, you wouldn't want to lose your job for standing for God, would you? So she's putting it out there, and they're like, no, we wouldn't want to do that. So they were agreeing with her, so on and so forth. Okay, verse 21. God gives her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. And by the way, that sexual immorality can also have to do with the false teaching as well, okay? That idea of they go hand in hand there, okay? So nonetheless, he gave her time to repent. She didn't. God's very patient with human beings, okay? Very patient. You know, if God killed everybody the moment they did something wrong, there would be nobody left on earth. They'd be all gone. Or even if they did it 5 times or 10 times. Now, I'm not saying that God just, because he decides to, doesn't just go, that's it. And they're in a car wreck and gone. I'm not saying that he doesn't do that sometimes. But because he has his own purposes in doing it. But all this to say, many, many, many other times God is very patient. Hey, he was patient with Jezebel getting before his people and talking. He didn't like the first day she got up there, it's okay, bloop. Now he did that back in the book of Acts. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Did you lie to the Holy Spirit? No. First Ananias, then 2 or 3 hours later, Jezebel, Ananias, Sapphira, she goes down and they carry her body out. So God does take some people, and in Corinth, people were taking the Lord's Supper in Corinth, and it said some of you are sick because you're sinning at the Lord's Supper, and some of your group has died. Paul told the Corinthians that. Some of the people in the Corinthian church died because at the Lord's Supper they were taking it with evil in their heart and evil against their brothers and sisters. Okay, so let's pack this up. Let's get some applications and things here. Now, look at verse 22. I'm going to read this from a different translation of the Bible so I don't have to take 10 minutes and retranslate things, because this is so clear in the NET Bible, the New English Translation. Jesus says to the pastor, look, I'm throwing your wife onto a bed of violent illness. and those who commit adultery with her into terrible suffering, the great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. Furthermore, I'll strike her followers with a deadly disease. That's where he said with death. And then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts. I will repay each one of what you all do according to what your deeds deserve. Okay, so in this last statement, the Lord's telling his people, if your works are good, then you can expect good and blessing. If your works are bad, if they're like Jezebel's, you can expect significant suffering, problems coming into your life in an inordinate way. Okay, now watch me. Watch this. If you have tons of troubles in your life, and in the presence of God, you could say, Lord, you know what? I have all the sins confessed that I can think of. I've confessed all the sins that I could possibly think of. And unless you need to reveal something to me, Lord, I just pray that you'll take this trouble from me. Please help me to endure it. Help me as long as you want me to have it, and then at your timing, take it away. Okay, but that's different from when you're having trouble after trouble after trouble, and you're like, yeah, Lord, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but please don't let me have so much trouble, Lord. No. That's not going to work, because Jesus says, I'm going to give to you according to your works. I will repay each one of you according to or what your deeds deserve. That's our Lord Jesus, everyone. That's the one that nobody wants to talk about. And it's hard because we're living in a corrupt world and we grew up in this world. Some of you have been in it for 60, 70, 80 years. You've been in it a long time and you know what I'm talking about. The world doesn't want it. Hey, listen, I've got Christians that are doing this to God. People in our church, they aren't listening to me or to God. That's not even the people outside the church. If God's people are doing this, you know, this, that's the world we live in. Because you know what? Those Christians are following the world around them. They're not listening to God. And you know what? Jesus told, if they don't hear me, they're not going to listen to you. That's why I keep going. I got a bunch of people here that are listening to me, and so I want them to know the truth so they can be set free. Okay. All right, well, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. We can't be flippant about sins in others' life. We can't be flippant about sins in our own lives. Verses 24 and 25, Jesus gives some words of encouragement. Now I say to you all, now to you all I say, to the rest in Thyatira. I put a little ellipsis there because there was another Greek word that is not in the majority of the manuscripts, and it makes it clearer that he's talking to you all, to everybody. Now to you all I say, to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, you don't hold this belief like Jezebel, and who have not known the depths of Satan. By the way, notice that Jesus calls it the depths of Satan, what Jezebel was teaching. She's saying, Jesus said, that woman's teaching the deep things of the devil because she's been snookered. We're not told whether she's lost or whether she's saved. She was a pastor's wife. She may have very well been saved, but we don't know. But anyway, he's saying what she was teaching, even if she didn't realize it, was the depths of Satan, as they say. I, Jesus says, to the rest in Thyatira, I will put on you all no other burden. What does that mean, no other burden? Well, if you read Acts 15, I'm going to put on you no other burden, just keep these things. In other words, he's saying, listen, I don't have any more to say to you. I don't have any more commandments to give to you than what I've just talked to the pastor about. But hold fast what you all have. Hey, were they already, we have a class in our church called the Steadfast Class. Hold fast, be steadfast, hold on to the truth. He says, the rest of you who don't have this teaching, hold fast to what you all have. He says, you know what? You're doing good. You're doing good. You're not in favor of what she's saying. You're not listening to what she's saying. You're not doing what she's saying. You hold fast what you all have till I come. In other words, he's saying, when the rapture takes place, when I come back, you just keep on keeping on till I return. Okay? Or it could, maybe, it sounds like it could sound like he's saying, till I come and bring judgment upon Jezebel. I guess that's a possibility, but I tend to think it's talking about, and in my commentary I said, till keep on like this till Jesus returns, because Teresa read us the passage. We got to be ready when he comes and knocks. We got to be always ready So we hold God's truth. We don't have fake doctrine, false doctrine. He says, you don't have this doctrine. You don't listen to her. You don't believe that. Good. Keep on keeping on, Jesus says. All right? And then to encourage them, and we didn't read this earlier, I told her to go to the next slide. Let's go ahead and read it now. Next slide, please. Revelation verses 26. And he who overcomes, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end. Now he's saying, hold fast. Why? The one who is victorious and does this till the end. You're just faithful to God till the day of death. You get a special reward. I will give power over the nations. That's the word authority. Man, what does that mean? We don't really know. We know it means we're going to rule with Jesus. We're going to have authority. And he says, you be over one city. You be over five cities. You be over 10 cities. We have that from the parable. We know it's going to be like that, but what all does it mean? I mean, wow, this is going to be wonderful. What a great reward to rule and reign with Jesus. Jesus will rule them with a rod of iron. They'll be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. Who? The rebellious. When Jesus returns at Armageddon, he's going to smash those rebelling against him, and he's going to start it all over anew and afresh. He'll have the judgment of the sheep and the goats. The unbelieving Gentiles will be on his left, and the believing Gentiles from the whole earth that are alive at the end of the tribulation will be on his right, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and the goats go to hell, and the sheep, he says, you are faithful to the end. Come inherit the kingdom. Inherit. He didn't say come and enter my kingdom. He said inherit the kingdom. Matthew 25 verses 31 through 46. Inherit the kingdom. And I've told you this a million times. If I say, my daughter Lauren's here this morning, if I say to her, Lauren, come and enter my house. That's one thing. But if I say, Lauren, come, you're inheriting my house. Ooh! Ding, 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 there's dollar signs in the eyes. I like that. Okay, just remember that. Inherit doesn't mean enter. And that's why Paul said, whoever does this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin won't inherit the kingdom. He's not saying they don't get in. He's just saying all these wonderful things, power over the nations, the morning star. Jesus calls himself in the Bible, Jesus is the morning star. Of course, in reality, like in when I say, well, reality, it is reality, but what I mean is like in our day-to-day lives, people say Venus is the morning star because you can see Venus when you get up and you're walking early in the morning. It's always there. It's bright. It's like if you ever see a nice bright thing in the sky that isn't blinking, when they're blinking, they're stars. When it's a planet, it just stays lit up. It doesn't blink, okay? Well, you'll see Venus like that. Well, the morning star. Venus is there in the morning, okay? Now, but Jesus isn't saying I'm giving you a planet or I'm giving you a sun, as it were. He says, I'm giving you myself. I am going to fellowship with you, and you're going to serve with me. And we're going to, just like people in government, the president, he has people around him, not very many anymore because they keep retiring, but anyway, keep quitting. But anyway, but he has people around him that are serving with him. That's a very special honor. And Jesus says, listen, I'm not only going to let you rule with me, but I'll give myself to you as a reward. We're going to have special fellowship that not every person in eternity will get. We're going to have remember they get to eat from the tree of life in the middle of the garden. We're going to see that in one of the later churches. We don't understand how awesome that's going to be, but it's going to be awesome, everybody. Okay, so let's do this. I want you to see there's special eternal rewards. Jesus has received from his Father the right to rule. He's sitting at his Father's right hand waiting till his enemies are made the footstool of his feet. In other words, till his enemies are destroyed. And then he's coming back to earth. I'm going to give you also not only power to rule, but I'm going to give you the morning star. And then Jesus tells us, he who has an ear, anyone who's listening, please listen to what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you all. Please don't tolerate sin. So let's go to the next slide and finish this all up. Application. Application. Okay, here it is. Next slide. Application number one, or really, here's the main application. One application this week. I had several last week. Don't tolerate sin in your own life or in the church. Don't do it. Folks, we got to keep God's family pure. We've got to say, let's follow God, not the world. Let's honor God. Let's not listen to what our friends say we should be doing. Let's not be thinking what our friends say we should be thinking. Let's not be concentrating on what makes them happy. Listen, you know what we all need? Listen to me. Yesterday we had a Holy Ghost revival in the men's prayer breakfast. We just had a wonderful time. The men were interacting and sharing their hearts, and we were going back and forth about prayer in the early church. People would pray, this would happen. People would pray, this would happen. People would pray, this would happen. And they were on their knees, and they were praying, God, grant us boldness, that with all boldness we might preach your word. And God gave them, the Holy Spirit filled them, and they got bold, and they went out and spread the word. Listen, everybody, not only shouldn't we be tolerating sin, we need to be praying for God's boldness to fall on us. We're too timid. Oh, what are they going to think if I tell them about Jesus? What are they going to think when you don't tell them and they're in the lake of fire? Your neighbor, go on and on. That's why in my cul-de-sac, I've touched the lives in my family as well, the lives of every single person. There's five homes in our little circle there. And listen, we've touched every one of them with the Lord Jesus, with the gospel, with trying to give them books, give them Bibles over the years. Listen, we've got to all have this boldness. And I'm hoping to have maybe some of them come to Easter. I'm going to try to invite some to Easter on April 1st. By the way, we've got 1 month, everybody, only 1 month. We've got only three more Sundays left in March after today. And then it's Easter Sunday. We're going to get some things into your hands next Sunday that you can be given out with a little "you're invited," okay? So this is the month we've got to be inviting people. Because you know what? You might invite 15 people and maybe have one come. The world is very hard, but guess what? There's people out there that are wanting to know the truth. And you know what? We have to have boldness. We can't be tolerant. We've got to be bold. And so we can't tolerate sin in our lives. We can't tolerate sin in the lives of one another. We got to watch out for one another. Keep them from going down the tubes. If you see somebody missing, call them. Hey, missed you. We really care about you. You know, do you need, should we have some lunch sometime and talk? Whatever you got to do. But let's do better, everyone. All right? All right, one more or two more slides, and I have just a little tiny story, and we're going to pray. Okay, this is a picture of a cancer cell. And it looks like it's metastasizing. It looks like it's wanting to spread here. It bursts into two. When a person gets cancer, doctors radiate that. They radiate that to destroy it. It doesn't, if the radiation doesn't take care of it, what do? They take chemotherapy, right? Why? To destroy cancer so that the person might be healthy again. Let me ask you this. Does the doctor hate the person? No. The doctor cares for the person. He wants the person to be healthy again. But the doctor hates that. And he says, listen, I'm really sorry because this is really going to hurt. But we've got to radiate it and we've got to kill it with chemo. It's going to be the most miserable thing in your life. You all never have suffered like you're going to suffer. But listen, we hate this and we got to kill it. Folks, that's how we got to think about sin. All sin will do for you is if you want to have joy and happiness and peace, all sin does is bring it down. You want to have fulfillment in life? Every time we sin, we bring it down a notch. You want to have joy in life? Sin brings it down. You want to have peace in your heart? Sin will bring it up. Everything that's worth having, when we do evil, sin brings it down. Sin, okay, you say, yeah, but Pastor Bob, You know, you go and have a fling, man, that's fun. Yeah, it's fun for 3 minutes, but then when the after effect comes, the Bible says in Proverbs, a man who commits immorality, it's like honey in the mouth, but afterwards his mouth will be full of gravel. Yeah, it's because there's guilt. There's things that come in the after. Satan only shows you the front of the house. He doesn't show you the junkyard in the back. Okay? So just remember that, everybody. And then the final slide. The final slide is this. We don't want sin to destroy anyone. These people that we call or text and we try to get them to be in church and try to encourage them and try to get them out of their sinful habits they're into now, we don't hate those people, but they got some kind of a cancer, spiritual cancer, that the pastor's trying to kill it with the right things, which is the encouragement of God's people, hearing the Word of God, praying with the saints, singing the songs of the Lamb. That's the pastor's prescription. You don't go to the drugstore, you come to the church house. But you know what, again, some people don't want chemo, and some people don't want God, and they don't want to listen. But we don't want sin to destroy you and rob you of your joy, and then we don't want it to rob you ultimately of the right to rule, the new name written down that no one knows except Jesus and you, the morning star, the white stone that'll give you, eating from the tree of life. All those things are only going to be for the believers who have served God faithfully to the end. He who overcomes and keeps my good deeds till the end. Till the end. Keep on keeping on till you finish on this earth. That's what it takes to get those special rewards, the morning star ruling. Okay? So it takes really, really intense focus on Jesus and serving Him. And again, God's not a spoil sport. He wants everybody to have a life of fun and joy and peace and harmony and all those good things. But on the other hand, He hates sin, and He'll chemo it in His own special way. He'll radiate it in His own special way if we're not listening. And boy, that's painful. Just like a person that's going through chemo, if he has to radiate our sin, if he says, I'm coming down there, if he has to radiate our sin with his judgment, oh, that is a very painful thing to endure, God's chastening. No chastening from God, no child discipline from God seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness in those who allow God to train them through it. Whew. No chastening is joyful, but painful. Jesus said it. So, everybody, are we going to tolerate sin? No. We're going to listen to our God, and we're going to hold fast. And we're going to pray for boldness. And we're going to glorify God with our lives, right? Let's thank God for His Word. Yes. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank You for Your people. I appreciate them so much. Their desire to serve You and to glorify You. And when they leave this life, to stand before You and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, let us not tolerate sin. Let us stand against it. Whatever it is, if it's arrogance, if it's pride, if it's selfishness, if it's gossip, if it's cutting other people down, if it's looking down on people, if it's racism, whatever it is, Lord, God, burn it out. Help us to say no to it. And Lord, we just pray that we will glorify You outwardly with boldness and inwardly with holiness. And we pray it in Your precious name, Lord Jesus, and for Your sake. Amen.